Good afternoon, everybody. Thank you for listening to Lakeshore Public Radio at 89.1 FM on the dial and streaming worldwide in real time at lakeshorepublicradio.org. I'm Tom Lounges. It's time for Midwest Beat, a show all about music and the people who make it. Today, we're looking at some people behind the scenes, or rather a person behind the scenes. We've got Mush Music. That's right. I'll introduce you to the gentleman in just a moment. We're going to talk about some of the big shows, really big shows coming up. Bands like Buck Cherry, Faster Pussycat, Head P.E., L.A. Guns, and Jackal. That's right. Jesse James Dupree will be joining us on the second hour of the show by phone. We'll talk to Jesse about all the things Jackal, and we'll be talking about all these shows. It's coming up after this. Good afternoon, everybody. Tom Lounges here. It's time for Midwest Beat, a program all about music, people that make it, people behind the scenes, and today we got a little bit of everything. Paul Panicali is joining us of Mush Music. I always get it wrong. Mush Music out of Northwest Indiana. He's a concert promoter throughout Chicagoland. We're going to talk to Paul about his career, how he got into bringing bands to your neighborhood and mine. And some of the bands coming up, bands like Faster Pussycat, Head P.E., L.A. Guns, The Buckinghams, and, of course, Jackal. We'll have Jesse James Dupree, the lead singer, founding member, and chainsaw enthusiast of Jackal, joining us by phone a little later in the program. But right now, let's open up with a song from a group that's coming in August through Paul, and that is Buck Cherry. Let's do something with their very first major hit.
I love it.
Getting Lit. Buck Cherry off their debut album, one of their first singles ever, one of their biggest for sure. And they're one of the bands coming to town. Buck Cherry has been around for a while. To me, they're still one of those new bands. You know, I've been around so long that any band in the last 20 years is still a new band. Buck Cherry's coming to town. Faster Pussycat's coming to town. Head PE's coming to town. The Buckinghams are coming to town. LA Guns are coming to town. Jackal's coming to town. Thank God that live music is getting back in action. And one of the guys doing it is Paul. Paul is with Mush Music. And Paul, tell us a little bit about what you do and about these shows. We're gonna go through some of each of these different bands you're bringing. But how long have you been doing concert production? I mean,
over 20 years now.
I met you at the Blue Chip many years ago. Yeah, you had me MC for the Gin Blossoms and Eddie Money.
My first show, actually, my first job was at the Covey Bear in Wrigleyville. That was a fun event every night.
Mm-hmm.
Not only did you have the Cubs games, but you had cool shows on top of that.
Right. Covey Bear was legendary.
Yeah.
Are they still around?
Yeah, they're still there.
Okay. I don't hear much about the Covey Bear anymore.
Well, the Foo Fighters played there about 2.5 years ago, just before they played Wrigley Field. They kind of wanted to go back to where
it all started. Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow. Now, you were at Dirty Nellies. I think you're still there, aren't you?
No. I was there for many years, though. On and off,
but you're doing a lot of venues in Chicago still.
Mm-hmm. I take shows now from like Indianapolis, Fort Wayne, all the way up to Madison. So I try to route everything through the area, through the Midwest, and have a little fun with it.
Now, see, a lot of promoters specialize in certain styles of music. There's promoters that do all oldie shows. There's, you know, show producers like myself that generally go with adult shows, tributes like the Women of Motown or the Buddy Holly show. You are all over the board. I mean, you're doing American English Tonight, which is a sellout, correct?
Yep.
And you've got the Buckinghams coming up. And then you do Buck Cherry and Head PE. I mean, completely different spectrum.
We even did Twista a few weeks back.
That's right.
It's all over the board.
Allen Coe.
Yeah.
That's as radical. Twista to David Allen Coe. That's
complete opposite.
Yeah.
My whole thing is that I enjoy the energy that comes along with the show. It doesn't matter what kind of show it is. The energy that comes along with the show is unlike anything else.
What got you into this, though?
Actually, I went to a concert in Toledo, Ohio, and Fort Wayne, Indiana. I saw Vince Neil, Warrant, and Slaughter. And I met a tour manager. His name's Larry, and he got me out selling T-shirts. He was from one town over, and we kind of clicked, and I drove bands around, sold T-shirts, the whole nine yards, and I was like, I really want to get in this somehow. And then I talked my way into a job at the Covey Bear that I had no business getting. And I was a production assistant, and I didn't even know what a microphone cable was, an XLR cord.
Okay.
And all of a sudden, I have a job, and then the production manager got let go. And then I'm the production manager, and I still don't know what a microphone cable is. And then the talent buyer got let go a month later, and I decided, I'm in trouble here. And the owner comes up to me and is like, here's your chance, kid. Don't screw it up. And next thing I know, I'm in charge of the whole department. And then the marketing guy gets let go 2 months later. And
so you become the whole show?
The whole department.
Wow.
And then, I did like George Clinton, Busta Rhymes, Vince Neil, Sponge when they were hot. You know, we did a lot of fun stuff there. And it just kept going from there. Then I went to Dirty Nellie's because that was the cool happening club. And then I ended up in Blue Chip Casino, and that was a different world because that you have to wear a suit every day to that.
Right.
That wasn't my cup of tea per se, but it was fun to do because I got to open up three venues there, and one of them's a 1,300 capacity room at the Stardust Event Center, and that was a learning curve in itself to figure out production and how everything works.
Speaking of learning, how long did it take you to go from faking your way to knowing what you were doing without getting busted for it? Like saying, oh, that kid doesn't know anything.
The day that the talent buyer got fired, I went to my sound guy and said, I need help. And he handed me a microphone cable and he said, wrap it. So I started wrapping microphone cables.
Right. But you loop them.
Yes.
You learned that the hard way. I learned that the hard way, too.
He had me do it 3-4 times that night, and then 10, 20 times the next night. And then, you know, and next thing you know, I'm pinning a stage. I ran monitors for Busta Rhymes. A couple months later, I did Third World. I was doing monitors for Third World, you know, Tripping Billy's, you know, because I was the whole department, you know. It was off Cub season, and that's when the Cub season's when they make all their money. In the off season, they don't spend much money because, mm-hmm. you know, the money's not coming in as much as it is during the Cub season. So they watch every penny, and I'm next thing you know, I'm doing everything and everything but front of house. That always scared me.
Yeah, and monitors scare me because those are crucial. If they can't hear themselves, then they're going to sound like crap.
As weird as it sounds, I thought it was really easy.
Yeah. Wow. One of the things about booking talents, especially bigger talent, is the writers, and you have to have a pocket full of red pens because you have to scratch a lot of things out.
Correct.
What's the weirdest thing that you remember seeing on a writer as far as you're thinking, what would they need that for?
Probably... you know, every now and then you see the marijuana on the mm-hmm. list. But a lot of times, as stupid as it sounds, baby wipes.
Really?
A lot of people that need baby wipes because when you're on the road, you don't get to shower all the time. As bad as that sounds, you're going from, you know, you load in at noon and then you leave at 2-3 in the morning and then you got to load in again at noon. You don't have time, you know, unless there's a shower at the venue, it's...
Wow, I never thought of that.
Yeah, it's on a lot of riders, you know.
I've never seen that on any of mine, but then again, I don't book the level of stuff you do. of course, the reason that the riders are so famous is because of Van Halen and the brown M&M's claws and everything. But I remember at Star Plaza Theater some very bizarre things. Certain artists wanted like 10 pair of white tube socks and, you know, roses of a certain color in the Star's dressing room and just random things that have nothing to do with the show.
George Thorogood, when we had him, we had to go manually do his laundry because he wore the same clothes every night. So we had to go out and do his laundry. And there was little notes in there from his wife about how to do it.
Wow. What kind of detergent and all that?
It was already there, but I just wanted to make sure that everything was covered. Or, you know, Leanne Rimes had to have Fiji water. That's all she would take.
Fiji water.
Fiji water.
Wow. Strange stuff. So what's the next show? Tonight is American English. Are there tickets available
There's
at all?
There's no tickets left.
So you can't even walk up and throw lots of money at you?
Nope. We're at capacity. I mean, we
try. And that's to make at the Art Theater in downtown Hobart, folks.
Yeah. We want to make sure that everyone's a little comfortable. So there's a bunch of open seats still, but we want to make sure that everyone's got a little extra room if we need it. You know, because in times like this, you just want to, you know, especially with an older crowd, they're a little worried about their health, and I understand that.
Right. We just did that with the Sound Santana. We had about half capacity. No, not even quite half capacity, but close. But people felt very comfortable. Mm-hmm. Even dancing, because the dance floor was open. We didn't have any tables up there. So they were able to dance in their little quadrants. And it was nice to see people out having a good time and still being cautious.
Yeah, my first show back, we did Tantric. And I was just amazed at the people, just their eyes like, oh, my God, I'm walking into a venue. It was a beautiful thing to see,
mm-hmm.
and then they just loved the music. They hadn't been around music forever, and it was just the eyes wide open. It was like a kid in a candy store again for some of these people, and it was wonderful to see. I mean, one of my biggest joys that I ever have is that when the artist walks on stage and you hear that big, mm-hmm. that makes my whole job. I mean, that's what it's all about, is that energy, you know, and to see I call my job making memories.
Okay.
So it's not really talent buying, it's making memories. And if you do it right, you're making memories for this year, and then they'll come back next year for the same show,
mm-hmm.
and then every year and every year. But they'll also be like, oh, I had a really good time at this venue, at this event, you know, we'll come out to this cool show. And that's why you got to be all across the board. Yeah.
Right. It's funny that you said that, because when my first show back was in February, and it was a quarter, I think we had quarter capacity when we first booked it. It was the Bonfire AC/DC show. And I remember thinking, there's no way even at a quarter we're gonna make any money on this. And that's okay, because we want to get the pump started, so to speak. Mm-hmm. This is the primer. And then the governor opened it up to 50%, which is what I think we're still pretty much at now.
Something like that.
And at the end of the show, we had people come up that normally probably wouldn't go see an AC/DC show. There was a bunch of bankers and people, and, you know, even wearing suits, they came in after work. And they stopped my wife and I, and they said, thank you. we enjoyed ourselves. That we needed to get out. We were stir crazy. We needed to get out. We would have come to see somebody paint the walls, but this was so much more fun. And I thought, wow, you know, we opened that door and let them out of their cages, so to speak, and they behaved and they mingled well, and they, you know, they were just very grateful to get out of their homes.
One thing I've noticed is the amount of aggression that people have is not there right now. They're thankful.
Yeah.
You know, there's a lot of anger lifted off this world when it comes to music now. It's more of an outlet and kind of a wow, oh my God, it's so nice to hear music thing. We're back, you know, a year and a half ago, you might have the person mad at the bar, had a bad day. I think a lot of that stuff's gone.
Mm-hmm. Well, for now. It'll come back, unfortunately. But yeah, even the quote-unquote pit, they stayed in their seats and they stayed separated through the entire concert until the last two songs when the band came on for the encore. Then people just fell into the old habits. They all kind of rushed the stage. But it's like they rushed the stage and then they all took two steps back. It was like, oh, we can't do that. Hold on. And then they started doing their head bobbing instead of like slam dancing and all that.
Yeah, I mean, I see instead of the 6 feet around, I kind of see the 3 feet around sometimes. Yeah. Everyone's really cautious about that stuff still, and they want their little space. But the amount of space that is given that they want is a little less than they did 3 months ago.
Right. We played Buck Cherry to open the show. When are they going to be here?
They're going to be here August 17th.
At
the Art Theater.
Okay.
In Hobart.
You do a lot of shows there.
Yeah. My relationship with them has been great. They're one of my routing stops, mm-hmm. and they've actually kind of become a home in Northwest Indiana because I live in Munster. I grew up in Wilmette, and now I live in Munster. Spent a lot of time downtown, too. But it's nice having something in my backyard that I can drive 20 minutes to mm-hmm. go to a show and not have to drive 2.5-3 hours and promote a show and be all stressed out. It's right down the street. It makes it easy. Plus, the owner there, Shane, is very easy to work with.
Yeah.
And he really wants the scene to succeed because there really hasn't been one in Northwest Indiana in quite some time.
And he's a musician himself. I don't know if he's still actively playing, but I know he has played in the past.
Not sure. I mean, I know that his one of his marketing guys, Ed, is in a Korn tribute. And so I know that he's actively in all that stuff, too. And, you know, they had a sold-out show last night with a country act, and I didn't know them very much.
Steelwoods. Yeah.
But I'm not big into the country scene, I'm not going to lie.
They're more Southern rock than country, I think. A couple of the guys, they use the record bin, which is two doors down, mm-hmm. A lot of times for the green room. So the artists will come over, and they'll hang out in the back room, and we have a private washroom for them. We make coffee and tea and snacks, and Gilbert Godfrey came in there and ate his lunch. You know, we closed the back room off, and he just sat there and did his little meditation thing. Dave Davies has been in there. And, you know, so the Steel Woods guys and their crew came in for a little while last night. Very nice guys. I had never heard of them, but I guess they're quite popular. We had a couple stop in the store that were from Ohio that were on their way to Kentucky for whatever reason. And they said, we heard about this. We didn't even know Hobart was on the map. We never heard of it. I said, well, join the club, you know, but this venue, Art Theater, is starting to put Hobart on the map.
Correct.
And we're seeing people detour and come in from outside areas.
Even when I did my Twista show, I can tell you that we had people from South Bend, we had people from Michigan, we had a handful of people from Chicago. But the funniest one I saw was we had someone all the way from Nashville that came into the show.
To see Twista?
Apparently, yeah. I just needed to get out and see a show.
Wow.
Met him at the door and, you know, they stayed in a hotel that night and had a great time. One fun thing about when you're booking a run of shows is that people tend to go to a few of them sometimes when they're super fans. So if you have a nice little run where you've got shows within an hour of each other, they'll stay at a hotel and they'll do 2-3 nights and just relive their childhood.
Wow. What other venues besides Hobart Art Theater are you working right now?
Well, there's probably about 10 in Chicago, from the Brower House to the Q Bars to Joe's I work with sometimes. Milwaukee, I do the Rave sometimes. I do Kansasville, Wisconsin. Pierre's in Fort Wayne. That's a that's a beautiful venue that's just reopening now, and it had such a had such a good vibe for so many years, and then there was some issues with the owner, and he left, or I don't know how it worked, but a year and a half since the place has been open, and they're starting to book shows again. Unfortunately, they had DMX booked, and he's not doing well right now. But that's a beautiful venue with amazing production, and everywhere I work with it, I will say that they've got great production, and that's one thing that I do enjoy, is that when I go into a venue, if they've got good production, it makes my life so much easier.
Mm-hmm. Agreed.
Less drama.
That's a lot of venues to cover. Granted, you're in the Midwest, but still there's a lot of mileage between those. How many shows on average do you work at once?
Right now, I've probably got about 40 dates on the books.
That's a lot. I got a handful, and I'm stressing. How do you do it? Do you have a staff, or is it just you?
Right now, it's just me.
Because every time I deal with anything you do, it's always you. It's always not me, like, talk to my people.
Actually, believe it or not, my mom was one of my biggest supporters for the longest time, and she would always tell me what was going on in the area, and it's always been a family thing. My sister runs the front door for me a lot of times. Mm-hmm. My best friend works for me sometimes. My kids work for me sometimes. I used to have a staff of a few people, but when COVID hit, it's all gone.
Right. And now you're starting back up again. But still 40 dates on the books. That's a lot.
And I've probably got about 100 more offers out there.
Wow. We just got Tom, our engineer today, filling in for Jose, who is the station manager. He just passed on word that DMX has passed away today. Word just came in at 50 years old, so condolences to his fans.
He was an icon in that world. You know, he just had the drug problem that...
Well, too many do.
And that's not just a hip-hop thing. That's a rock and roll thing. That's a music
thing. It's a country thing, too. Yeah, it's everything. It's blues everything. Artists, music. Jazz artists. They were the first ones I knew of that had heroin addictions was jazz artists. You know,
can you imagine walking off stage after being in front of an amazing crowd and the energy you have, and then all of a sudden you're backstage and it's quiet and it's a different world.
Mm-hmm.
You know, being idolized and all of a sudden you want that energy back and you don't get it
until the next night.
Yes.
Let's play something. We already played Buck Cherry. We got L.A. Guns, Head P.E., Faster Pussycat. What would you like to play?
Why don't we go with some L.A. Guns?
L.A. Guns. We got the Ballad of Jane, which is their biggest song. Again, that goes back to the glam hair band era. I know a lot of the bands hate that term, hair band.
I know.
They really do. I mean, we had Brian Weed at Tesla. He says, please don't ever use that word. I said, I know.
In L.A. Guns is a little more rock and roll than some of those.
But let's play that. When is L.A. Guns going to be here?
L.A. Guns will be in July on the 10th.
At the Hobart Art?
At the Hobart Art.
You doing any other dates with them?
Yes, but in Kansasville.
Okay, so we're going to focus on letting people know July 10th they'll be here, L.A. Guns, and this is one I guarantee you're going to hear. It's their biggest song, The Ballad of Jane, taking you back.
Everybody dreams of it.
It's a shame what happened to Jane. Ballad of Jane, L.A. Guns, going back number of years there. That's one you'll hear on July 10th at the Hobart Art Theater, 230 Main Street, downtown Hobart. Mush Music is presenting it. My guest is Mr. Mush himself, Paul Panicali, because you are the janitor, the CEO, the, you know, everything.
I do clean up.
Yes.
Although my daughter did name the
Mush?
Mush, yeah.
How did that happen?
I don't know. One day she kind of called me a mush, and then I was looking for names when I was starting my company, and my wife was like, just don't you call it that? And I'm like, okay. It's kind of, you kind of mush everything together. I kind of take care of everything, so.
Now, see, all this time I thought it was mush, like dog sleds. Mush, mush. And now I know it's Mush, Mush Music. Tonight, you've got American English there. Don't worry, folks. It's sold out. You cannot get tickets, but you can still throw money. That's okay. We've got L.A. Guns coming July 10th. We've got Jackal on April 23rd. That's just around the corner. That's like, what, 2 weeks?
That's like 2 weeks away.
Yeah. We're going to have Jesse James Dupree from Jackal joining us here in about 30 minutes or so.
And he's always a blast to have in there.
He's a trip.
Yeah.
You saw the picture of him choking me.
That's him.
That is. He's done that twice to me. You know, he comes up and it's like, hey, what are you doing here? And he grabs you by the throat. I was getting an award on stage at the Star, and he did that on stage. I've got a great shot of that. And then that one that ran in the social media was actually in the lobby area of the Star by the merch booth. But so we're going to talk to Jesse and find out what Jackal's been up to and talk about what they've got planned for their show in Hobart. Now, they're doing a tour.
Yes.
Correct?
I think they're doing Weekend Warrior stuff, which means they're doing
a lot of flyouts.
Yeah. They'll take their bus and they'll go out for 3, 4, or 5 days in a row. Instead of making a whole tour out of it, they're just kind of doing these little runs. And a lot of bands are doing that right now because certain areas of the country are not open. Like you can't do a show in downtown Chicago.
Right.
So you have to pick what states you can actually do shows in, and sometimes you have to skip states. So because of COVID restrictions are different in every town, there's I think Illinois is 25% capacity or something like that on their venues, or it's 50 people per room. So wow. You really can't do shows unless you've got multiple rooms, which some of them are getting away with, kind of doing separate seating areas based upon rooms.
Now, some of the artists are going out like as acoustic duos. Was Trapped your show?
Yes.
Okay, so they did that.
Yeah, Eric Martin of Mr. Big does that. So does Kip Winger.
Yeah, and Kip just did that. You did him at the room in Highland.
Correct.
Okay.
And a lot of the artists are starting to do that. Even Corey Taylor of Slipknot is doing an acoustic run. And he's at the Forge and he's at Piers in Fort Wayne. And those are all sold out. People are really digging some of these acoustic shows because you have to space out and you still get to see the artist. Aaron Lewis is another one that does really well at acoustic stuff. I've been talking about doing some of that acoustic stuff too. Like,
I'm sorry I missed your Kip Winger show. We had Kip on the show to promote that, but I didn't get to go to it. Are you going to be doing any more with him?
I'm working on it right now.
I'd love to see him at the Art.
He's really good live. It's almost like a rock and roll show as an acoustic show. Mm-hmm. The energy that he brings to stage is amazing, and he has them turn up the sound system like a real rock and roll show, but he plays like it. It's almost like you're playing in front of 1,000 people, and yet you're an acoustic show and everyone's sitting down, but by the end of it, no one's sitting down. They're all up having a good time and rocking out like they would at a normal show.
So with half the states closed, I mean, you're doing Wisconsin, you do Chicago, you do Michigan. How hard is it? You still got 40 shows pending?
Yes. I have a lot. Well, Kansasville's got a lot of dates. So does
The Art.
The Art. You know, those are two of my more active rooms right now. You know, Milwaukee's kind of slowed down because of this. The Rave isn't doing much. Chicago itself proper they're not even like considering things right now. So all these artists are looking to get out. They haven't played in a year. They need to make some money. Not only that, they're going stir crazy.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a big part of it, is that even when I did that tantric show I was telling you about, the artists walked in with, wow, I can't believe we're doing a show again. Wide-eyed, excited. I've done that band 30 times, and that was the most fun of it they've ever seen them perform on stage.
Well, they popped into the record bin. We had the bass player and the guitar player in there for half a day. they were just like kids. I mean, they're going through, oh, look at this poster, look at that, let's buy this. And they bought T-shirts. They were just having fun. They says, we haven't been to a record store in like 2 years.
And what was the cool part about the guitar player? Do you remember?
He is the son of Jeff from Cinderella.
Yeah.
And in fact, he bought some original Cinderella posters from Star Plaza from me and cleaned me out of my Cinderella vinyl. And he called his dad. He goes, Dad, your stuff's here. And he said, buy it. And it was cool. We got pictures of them, you know, hanging out with us. And it was a lot of fun.
Actually, I think between us, he's kind of a better guitar player than his dad.
Oh. But... It's a lot of fun doing this, but it's a lot of headache, and people don't realize it. I've had conversations on the air with people that were concert promoters, and the general feel of the public, John Q. Public on the street says, oh, yeah, I could be a concert promoter. What do? You throw a few bucks at a venue, you call up an artist, say, you want to play? Okay, here, print some tickets at the local print shop, and you're done. It's not that easy.
Sometimes it is, but not very often.
Not very often. Not, I mean, on a local level, maybe, but some of these national guys, like we said, the writers sometimes are thicker than the contracts.
The hard part about it is actually getting the word out. Mm-hmm. And you have to understand analytics on what brings money back versus money you spend. And I actually went to college for accounting, and I'm actually kind of using some of that stuff now. I never thought I'd be in the music world, wow. But it's kind of happened.
Right, right. Yeah, there's all different ways. There's radio, TV, print, social media, you know, so many different kinds of social media now.
Oh,
it used to be just like one or two. Now it's like you got to split everything up.
And based upon what audience you're going after, yeah. Means what...
Where you advertise.
Yeah. You know, certain age groups, it's Twitter, some of it's Google, a lot of it's Facebook.
Mm-hmm.
But when you're dealing with the younger kids, they are all on Snapchat and Twitter.
Right.
Where as you get older, it's Facebook and Instagram.
And a lot of my older shows, like the Buddy Holly tribute or the Women of Motown, newspaper, print, and radio are still where older folks
Absolutely.
Go.
Absolutely. I've got the Buckinghams, and you know, I'm going to call up Carl and say, hey, can you
do radio interviews?
Do a spot on Tom Lounges.
It's, yeah.
I mean, and he's from the area, so yeah. he might be able to get him come in.
Well, let's play some Bucks, and we'll talk about that show coming to the Art Theater.
Yeah, absolutely.
September 10th. All right. This is the Buckingham singing back 1967. Kind of a drag.
Kind of a drag when your baby don't love you. Kind of a drag when you know she's been untrue. When you feel like you wanna cry. Oh, girl, cause even though you made me feel blue,
Buckinghams, 1967, band out of Chicago, used to be known as the Pulsations back in the day, and it's interesting because they took the name of the Buckinghams because one of the security guards, they were doing a TV show, and they had two bands that merged, Pulsations, I can't think of the other one, Centurions maybe, And they need to come up with a new name right before they went on the air. And one of the security guards said, you know, British invasion stuff's pretty big right now. You should call yourself something like the Buckinghams and people think you're English. And they did.
Well, did they outsell the Beatles one year?
67, they were the number one pop band in America, voted by the teen magazines, all the Tiger Beats and all that stuff. The fans voted them the number one band in 1967. I don't think they outsold the Beatles, but they were higher ranked than the Beatles.
You remember the good old days of the Tiger Beats and the Rip magazines?
I worked for them.
For real?
Which ones? Yeah. I worked for 16, Tiger Beat, Teen Stars, Hit Parader, Video Rock Stars, Relics, Goldmine.
Goldmine, I forgot about that one.
Yeah, our store was actually just featured in Goldmine. What was the other one? Word Up magazine, was the rap magazine that came out.
And you don't like rap very much, do you?
But I did back in the day when it first came out, and it wasn't all negative kind of stuff, and it was more fun. And I worked with, I interviewed people like MC Hammer and Salt-N-Pepa, and I worked with Carl Weathers, the actor. We did a thing when he was working with Vanity and Action Jackson. I was on site for that. So, yeah, it was a lot of fun. I worked for all those glossies. It was a time I could walk into local Riberty Drugs or Walgreens, and there'd be four magazines that my byline was in. And I would buy them just because. I was like, I'm going to buy myself. You know?
I was that guy, too. It's okay. I bought every Chicago Tribune interview, everything I've ever had.
Mm-hmm.
It's sitting in a lot of boxes.
Well, my print, one of my nine cover stories that I did on Prince is hanging in the record bin with a signed pass from Prince and photos when I did my interviews with him. And it's for Video Rock Stars magazine, which is short-lived, tied to MTV. And there's my byline framed behind glass with my signed Prince pass and all the other stuff up there.
What was he like?
He was actually pretty cool. I mean, he was very soft-spoken, very small. Very small man, as I remember.
He always looked really tiny.
But he was very cordial. Now, this was at the Uptown Theater in Chicago in the middle of December, I want to say. December, January. And it was colder than you can imagine. And they had those giant space heaters that were like turbo engines. That go. Mm-hmm. So he's soft-spoken. We're running a tape. And every 15 seconds, this thing goes. So a lot of my interview got washed out. I still have the tape. But interesting. But he wouldn't let us take pictures with him. But he was happy to sign autographs. He said, I don't want any pictures. And
he was always very conscious of his image.
Mm-hmm.
He did a show at the City Winery downtown Chicago, small little club,
wow,
like 500 cap. They wouldn't allow cell phones, anything in that you could take pictures.
With?
Yes, he wanted to do the show and have a great time, but he did not want any photographs at all.
The other thing I remember about him is he was. That's why when people were talking about, you know, drugs had a rule in his, or a part in his death. I had a hard time grasping that because he was so health conscious. We went back there, and he had, instead of having like the usual deli trays, everything was healthy. He had wheat germ and kiwi and all this other stuff, and
it was
smoothies.
It was a pain thing, right? Didn't he have?
I think.
Yeah, I mean, I've got back issues, and the pain that goes along with that stuff is astronomical. I mean, he's dancing all over the place every night. There's got to be a twisted ankle here, mm-hmm, a sprained hip. You know, he was all over the place.
Right. But he was a nice man. I do remember him being a very nice man. Buckinghams are coming when? We promised to tell them.
September 10th.
September 10th.
And that just got booked yesterday. So
is that Saturday?
It is a Friday.
Friday.
Okay. Yeah.
Friday, September 10th.
That's going to be a fun show. I'm really looking forward to hearing the horns. You know, that band is kind of made on those horns.
It's true. They were one of the first to have them. In fact, Joe Gersio, who was their arranger, producer, maybe manager, I can't remember the whole history of him, but he kind of experimented with the horns with the Bucks, and then he went on to get this band called Chicago out there, and he took over Chicago.
Never heard of them.
Yeah, never heard of them. I think they made a hit or two.
Yeah, or 17.
But but the Bucks kind of led the parade, and the Bucks and the Ides were doing the horns about the same time.
Mm-hmm.
And then Chicago came out, and Blood, Sweat, and Tears, and then it became the Horn Group, and then Chase.
I did Blood, Sweat, and Tears a few years ago with Bo Bice.
Bo Bice, yeah.
It was actually a really cool show.
Was it? Yeah. I did them when they still had David Clayton Thomas at Point East. And I want to say we had Arsenio Hall as the opening act for that. I got a picture of him.
They're,
he was like $50 or $75 that night.
I'm contemplating doing a comedy act before the Buckinghams because that's the way they used to do it.
Yeah.
I haven't decided yet what I'm going to do.
That would be fun. Make sure it's a good comedian, though.
Oh, like there's, like you?
No. I'm only funny when I try to be serious. But, yeah, you got some great stuff coming up. Who has been your favorite artist to work with, if you had to pick one?
Well, to work with, I'm an old school Wax Trax guy.
Okay.
So I'm big into the industrial stuff. So, you know, Ministry, Thrill Kill Cult, all that stuff. Even like the Prodigy, you know. But that wasn't Wax Trax. But as far as working with, I always enjoyed doing the Rusted Roots stuff. Believe it or not, and the reason why is because the singer and I would pop open a bottle of something and have a great time and just tell stories all the time. And it makes the difference in the world, like seeing old friends when they come in town, or you know, you build relationships with these people sometimes, and it transcends, you know, not only into bookings, but we were talking about having them come out to my wedding and sing for it.
Wow.
But it didn't work out, but things like that can happen.
I agree. I remember on one of my weddings that Enough's Enough came out and sang.
Oh, Chip?
Yeah, Chip, Donnie, and Ricky Parent. Wow. All of them came out behind the curtain. We had a DJ that night, but it was a surprise. And they came out and sang their love ballad, and that was, you know, and Survivor sent us some recorded messages and things.
Donnie was when he was on, he was a great singer.
You want to play some Rusted Root?
Sure.
Tom, you got some Rusted Root we can play? All right, we got it. Send me on my way, Rusted Root, in respect of opening a bottle of something.
Shot my hand, Ombe say, Ombe tell you to run.
On the way, on the way,
and Ombe say, Ombe the young. Well, pick me up with golden hand, Ombe say, Ombe tell you to run.
On the way, on the way,
and Ombe say, Ombe the young. Well,
I would like to hold my little hand.
How we will run, how we will cry.
I would like to hold my little hand.
How we will run, how we will cry. Send me in my way. 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 Send me on my way.
reach out my hand. Ombe say, ombe tell you to run.
All the way, all the way.
Ombe say, ombe tell.
Rusted Roots, Send Me On My Way, and that's a band that is not coming soon, right?
No.
You're not working with them right now.
No, they kind of broke up.
The singer was going solo.
Yeah, the singer's going solo. And he's kind of the voice. The band. And
I don't think anyone could name anyone but him.
No, I don't think so either.
But Rusted Root, good band. As I was talking off air, they've played in this area. I don't think they sold out a lot of venues, but you're saying that they sell out easy in Chicago and major cities.
I mean, they were good for 3 to 4 nights at the House of Blues, all sold out.
Wow. And here we had them out at the Hammond Civic Center and a few other places, and they weren't sellouts. But always a good band. And you do have some acts coming up, though. Buck Cherry is coming up in August 17th at the Hobart Art. We have Faster Pussycat on July 10th at the Art Theater. Jackal, we're going to have Jesse James joining us in just a bit. Mr. Dupree will be on the phone. They're at the Hobart Art April 23rd. Head PE, and when are they coming?
They're going to be here in August, the beginning of August. And one of the fun thing about that show is that there's going to be a lot of local support on that show. And there'll probably be two local bands, and it'd be nice to have some local artists to play in front of all these acts.
Right.
One of the things that Northwest Indiana does not have is that scene, and that we were talking about earlier. There's not a lot of clubs to play out here.
Right.
So having the ability to put some of these local bands on these shows, they get really excited.
And there's not a lot of venues that can do bands. I mean, there's a lot of small wineries and craft brew places where they do the acoustic stuff. And I got to say, we've talked with many of those artists from the region that do their original stuff, and those venues have really opened the gates for original music. Mm-hmm. So that was something the region never really did in the past. But they're small, so they can only do singles and duos and maybe trios. So the James Geddes, the Robert Roll Feddersons, those guys are getting a chance to get out there and play their original music and sell their original CDs in smaller crowds of 100 or less. But we don't have a venue that really does the original. I'm going to be doing one June 6th, my annual birthday charity show. It's a Sunday, June 6th, and we're going to have Robbie Celestin out there with his original project. Robbie, of course, was formerly with Timepiece. He's with Say Yes. He's got, Final Say. Final Say, not Say Yes. We've got Leslie Hunt.
And he's a great front man.
Great front man. Him in the hat.
Yep.
The hat makes the show. You got to see him. If he wears a fedora, better name than this side of Sinatra. But we also have Leslie Hunt, who is an American Idol finalist, and she's with Jim Peterick's World Stage. We've got Eric Lambert. We've got Ivy, who has played with Buddy Guy. So four great artists. It's a singer-songwriter circle. I'll be moderating. And we're going to talk all about original songwriting. We're going to have them come up with singles, duos, trios. And they're all going to stay on stage at the same time. And 100% is going to the Humane Society of Northwest Indiana.
And not only is it a cool part about getting the original music out, you got your charity behind it,
yeah,
that you really believe in. One cool thing that I did, I want to say about a year and a half ago, is I did Anna Nalick, who had
yeah,
beautiful voice. So I had her come out, and I'm on this Portage Live committee, and it's a reciprocity series between us, Munster, Valpo, but she came out and did a show, but not only that, she came in early and did an hour with the high school kids.
Mm-hmm.
So she answered all these questions about record contracts and how you write songs, and she played a couple songs for them, and it was definitely a really cool event. The great part about it is we had this a little allotment, a grant, and this year we're going to be doing Crystal Bauer socks.
Hmm.
It's in September. We haven't announced it yet, but
I kind of just did.
And still working out the final details on everything, but she's going to come in and do something with the high school kids over in Portage too.
We used to do that with Maynard Ferguson, mm-hmm, the great jazz trumpeteer. He would come to Highland Monbeck Auditorium for the one of the sports teachers groups and parent teacher groups would bring him out. And he did that in Munster and Highland, a few different places. And then he'd play a full concert that you would buy tickets for. But he would do stuff with the students, the music students. And I know Jeff Brown's done that a few times at his jazz festivals at VU, where he'll get some of these top artists that'll come in and do a couple of private things, tutorial, educational things with the students. And then, of course, you open it up to tickets. But it's nice when artists do that. Switchback does that a lot.
And a lot of people don't even ask.
No.
All you got to do is ask. And a lot of times they'd be more than happy to do it. You know, buy them lunch and they'd be ecstatic. You know, hey, we get lunch and we get to hang out with kids all day. That's really cool.
Right.
It's like them giving back. I mean, Crystal Bowersox was on American Idol. And once you throw that word American Idol out there, everyone's like, oh, my God. And you're a finalist. You lost to Lita Wise. Who's him? But I remember her.
Right.
You know, some people will say.
That's like Leslie Hunt. She's a finalist on American Idol. And she started parlaying that by working with Jim Peterik in his world stage. Mm-hmm. She's also singer of District 97 in Chicago, a industrial slash alt band, I guess you'd call them. I don't even know how many genres are out there now. But, so that'll be an original show. And I agree. We should have some of these bands that are opening for some of these nationals to get them seen. But at the same time, the ticket buyers have to realize they need to come early and experience these groups.
Absolutely.
They can't stand outside and smoke their cigarettes or come, you know, fashionably late. Come there and support these young kids.
Just come and check out a song or two. Even if you're just sitting there drinking a beer, talking to your buddy, give them a chance.
Mm-hmm.
You know, hear a song, maybe two. You know, if you don't like it, it's okay. But just give them an opportunity for original music to shine in Northwest Indiana.
We haven't done Faster Pussycat, have we?
No, they're playing July 1st over at the Hobart Art again.
July 1st?
Yeah.
I won't be able to go to that. I've got my own show that day, but that's okay. Faster Pussycat, let's enter the House of Pain with these hair mongers.
Thank you.
Stepping into the House of Pain. That is Faster Pussycat. Meow. And when are they going to be here?
They're going to be here July 1st.
Oh, that's right, July 1st.
Because at the Hobart Art.
You know, we are coming up on summer, and festivals are coming back. I'm involved with a few of those. What's it like to do? I generally don't do indoor shows during the summer because I'm always worried that people are going to say, it's too nice, that we're going to barbecue, or we're going to go to the beach, we're going to do this. As a producer, you're doing a lot of August, July shows. Does that worry you at all? Do you
see it? Absolutely.
Okay.
I'm not going to lie. I mean,
that's risky, I think.
With COVID, it kind of changed everything. And people really want to get to shows. And I think they're going to come out for them. I mean, in general, you would get about 20% less of what you would, you know, in a fall show. But I think this is going to change a little bit. Mm-hmm. People really want to see stuff. And there's not as many festivals going on as there has been in the
past.
That's
true. Thank goodness for that.
There was an oversaturation of festivals in certain areas. And
Northwest Indiana is definitely one of them.
Correct.
Every weekend we have stuff.
Absolutely. And one of the things I've learned is that if you oversaturate a market, guess what happens? Numbers go down everywhere.
Right.
It's not just one place. It's everywhere.
And the thing is, these festivals, 90% of them are free. So the public just comes out and watches all these great shows. And again, they're not spending money on tickets. So, oh well. Anyway, we've got some great shows coming up. Paul is bringing them to town. We've got Buck Cherry, August 17th, correct?
Mm-hmm.
And in July, July 1st, Faster Pussycat, Head P.E. In August, we've got L.A. Guns coming. We got the Buckinghams on September 10th. These are all at the Art Theater in Hobart.
And I even have a hip-hop show, Riff Raff, coming in also. And make sure you follow the Hobart Art Theater's Facebook
page. I think
it's
Art Live, isn't it, or something like that? Hobart Art Theater. Just type in Hobart Art Theater.
And it'll pop up. And shows will be going on sale in the next week on most of these shows, so make sure you stay tuned. I know Monday, Tuesday, and Thursday we're dropping some shows on sale.
And tonight we've got British Invasion tribute band American English, Beatles tribute, I should say, but they are sold out, so you can't get tickets. So there's your warning, folks. Don't wait. Don't procrastinate, because a lot of the shows are selling out because people want to see shows, are willing to go back in, and not all venues are doing 100% yet. So you're limited on your tickets. So don't forget all those wonderful shows. Check it out, Hobart Art Theater. And Paul, you have your own website, right?
Yeah, it's mushmusic.net.
Mushmusic.net. Paul Panicali has been my guest this hour. He's not going anywhere, though, because one of his shows is going to be the spotlight in just another couple of minutes here for the next hour. On Friday, April 23rd, the wonderful venue that we've been talking about, Hobart Art Theater at 230 Main Street in downtown Hobart, right next door to my record store, of course. So come on in and see me. Get there
Seriously,
early.
Seriously, go there. They have amazing stuff. My daughter bought this amazing crystal candle last time we were there, and she wants me to buy another one for her the next time I'm out there.
Well, we're limited on those, so get in there soon. And we do a lot of in-store stuff, a lot of meet and greets. We do acoustic concerts in there. So I'm hoping we can get our old friend Jesse James Dupree to join us at the record bin before the show. But let's wet everyone's whistle. I like to always start my segments by letting the music do the talking. Let's bring on some redneck punk. Jackal.
Get
Redneck Punk, taking you back to the Jackal album, album that went to number one on many of the charts out here. Jesse James DePria is going to be our guest here. We're going to be welcoming him in just a moment. Want to remind you that Jackal is going to be performing at the Hobart Art Theater on Friday, April 23rd. Paul, are there any opening acts on that, or is it a night of Jackal?
There is an opening act. I can't remember them off the top of my head.
Okay, that's okay. Come early and be surprised, like the rest of us. But for those of you that remember the Star Plaza Theater, we had Jackal play there many, many times over the years. And I remember a very vivid show that we did, Rockfest 04. It was Jackal, Dokken, Skid Row. We had some local guys outside playing in an outdoor stage. First time we ever did an outdoor stage at the Star. Had some vendors out there. And then nature had its way with us, and little microburst came up. The vendors got blown away. The stage had to shut down, but the Dokken Jackal Skid Row show inside rocked. And good times, good memories. That was going all the way back to 2004, and those guys played there many, many times. Jesse, are you with us?
What up, my brother?
How you doing?
Yeah, swinging hard, taking a big bite out of life's ass every day.
Excellent. Now, I know that, like everyone else in the entertainment business, you've been kind of off the grid a little bit, off the road. What's it like to finally being able to get back on stage?
Well, we just played Daytona Bike Week down in Daytona Beach, Florida in March, and it felt great. It was good. You know, we haven't seen each other in 6 months, so it was good to blow the cobwebs out of the app.
Mm-hmm. Now, we've got... We've got the show coming up here at the Hobart Art Theater. I don't think they've played there before. Paul,
no, they have
not. No, they have not. Paul is here, who's producing your show, and you've done some shows with Jackal before.
Absolutely.
Many shows.
Yeah, they used to be a staple at the Star Plaza, you know.
So, oh, right. Were those your shows?
No, those were yours.
I was going to say, yeah, Charlie and I were. Yeah. I didn't know if you were involved, because you're involved in a lot of things. Your hands are everywhere. But, yeah, that said, Jesse, what are your thoughts on the late, great Star Plaza? I mean, we are still sad here 3 years after the fact that it was raised, but you played there a lot. You had a good rapport. You were family there.
Yeah, we had a lot of great shows, and just what a great room. It was one of those rooms that acoustically sounded, you know, just thunderous and great, and crowds were always incredible. We've always had, an honest connection with, you know, that part of the country anyway, so it was always like coming home.
The band is still together. You guys have held it together. Whirly Brothers are still with you. What's the secret?
Nobody else will have us.
That's honest. But you guys have been together a good many years now. Early 90s, I think it was, Jackal first got together, correct?
Yeah, we got together right around 90, about mid-1990. And then we got signed pretty quick, and then got our first album, came out in 92, so it all happened really quick.
So you were out there at the same time the whole grunge thing was happening, and yet you guys survived and thrived. So many rock bands fell by the wayside, even successful ones at the time. And you guys came out of nowhere and kind of, you know, took the Southern sound over the Seattle sound and won a large fan base. Did that surprise you? I mean, I'm surprised that a major label took a chance on a band that wasn't grunge at that time.
Well, we were a safe bet because we did have such... loyal and such an honest connection with people that are, people that bust their knuckles 40, 50 hours a week or more, hammering out a living, and when they get time to throw down and rock, they want to do it loud, proud, hard, and honest, and they know they're going to get it from Jackal.
Mm-hmm.
And it was the same, every day was the same for us. You get up, rock it, and, thank God everybody still finds what they like, and it doesn't matter what Cute Little Friends or what Rolling Stone magazine is telling them to do. They find what they like.
Are you finding that the fans that started out with you in the 90s are still with you?
Oh, yeah. They're there with us now, and then their kids are with us. I mean, it's really amazing. It's been a great ride, and it's not over with yet.
One of the cool parts about the Hobart Art is that it's an all ages of place.
Mm-hmm.
So I've been getting the emails, can I bring my kids? There's not one, not two, probably about a half a dozen already, and I'm sure there's more. You know, this is transcending generations.
Right. Now, the show had been booked and postponed, and now it's rescheduled for this date here that we're talking about on April 23rd. Was it postponed due to COVID, or was it tour scheduling?
Well, it was originally postponed due to COVID, and then it turned into a scheduling nightmare for dates changing because of different states with COVID itself. So we had to reschedule it twice, actually, okay. Or maybe three times.
Jesse, what's the show? What's the show going to be like as far as material? Are you going to be debuting any new songs? Do you have anything new in the works as far as recordings coming?
We are working on some new stuff. I mean, I don't know how much of it we'll be featuring at the upcoming show. I mean, we're always writing and working on stuff. So I don't know what to say. We're just now kind of getting back in the groove. We got hopefully an optimistic view on what's going to happen through the year. So. We're, just trying to get our feet back under us because, we haven't seen, up until the show in March, we haven't seen each other in 6 months.
Mm-hmm. Now, the album that I remember getting that I hit the store to pick up was when Moonshine and Dynamite Collide. I think you've done something since then, but I not found it. Is there anything newer since then? That was around 2010 or 12.
Yeah, the Rowie Co. record. I'm disappointed in you. You're normally all over that stuff.
I am, and I've just had a problem finding that, so I'm going to have to go out and look for it. Is it on your website?
Yeah.
All right, we'll have to definitely do that. And, folks, you can keep up with Jackal at jackal.com. It's easy to remember, and that's Jackal, J-A-C-K-Y-L. Join up, become part of the Chainsaw Mafia there, and I'm going to have to pick up that album, definitely. Let's talk a little bit about, since this is an all-ages show, it's important to mention that there is a full bar for those 21 and over.
Correct. And they actually have a restaurant next door, which is nice, a nice pre-show kind of little get-together for people.
And that makes me beg to ask, will we have some Jesse James whiskey on the tap there?
That I'm not 100% sure. You'd have to ask the venue owner, but if Jesse's really nice, maybe he'll pop into your record store two doors down and say a little hello to an old friend.
Yeah, that would be nice. Yeah, I've got a record store, the Record Bin, two doors down, and we'd love to have you come in. There's pictures of you hanging on the wall choking me at the Star Plaza. People always laugh at that. They're like, why is he choking you? I says, because he can.
I always joke, Tom, that he should get his old posters signed by you because he uses a lot of that towards his charity for dogs. I said, just bring in Jesse. He's a good guy.
Sign a few of those old star posters for our shelter. That'd be great. But so tell me about the Jesse James Spirits. When did that all come together, and how's that doing for you?
That's so great. I launched the Jesse James Bourbon probably about almost 7 years ago. We're getting just hit 200,000 cases sold, and doing really well. It's something that I'm passionate about. It's a great bourbon. We have the regular bourbon, the honey bourbon, the spice bourbon. We have a blue label single barrel Tennessee whiskey that we only released about 1,500 cases of last year. And just doing really well.
Now, I've had the spiced.
I was just going to say, the spiced good. Is like, that's sounding pretty good to me by mm-hmm. now. I like spiced bourbon.
Yes, so, I always say it's like, there's nothing else like it on the market. The closest thing to the Jesse James spiced bourbon is maybe like Captain Morgan. It'll make Captain Morgan fall to his knees and beg for forgiveness.
All right, that's a challenge I want to see because I am a Captain fan, so we're going to have to do a taste test here.
Just one?
Maybe two.
Absolutely.
At least. So now you've got your own website for that, jessejamesspirits.com, where people can get all the recipes and all the details on your different beverages. You can't ship that, though, can you, or can you now? I don't know how that works.
You put them in some states, but I don't know about Illinois. Illinois is a tough little state to do business in, period.
What else is going on in the world of Jesse James Dupree? I know we saw you on TV for a long time there at the Full Throttle Saloon. Are you got any projects besides getting back on the road and touring?
Yeah, I'm actually in Sturgis. I just landed in Sturgis here today. I'm out here at the Full Throttle meeting with the Harley Davidson Motor Company corporate executives. We're going to kind of make a plan for what's going to be happening this year at the rally in August. And right now, there's snow on the ground out here, and the wind is killing. But But come August, it'll be rally time and we'll be game on.
Now, do you guys have your own bike? I would think by now, after doing Sturgis so many years and being such a big supporter of Two Wheels and Harley, that they'd give you a Jesse or a Jackal model bike. Any talk of that?
No, they hadn't committed to doing that yet. But
that'd be cool.
Do you ever do any of the rides?
I'm sorry, say that again.
Do you ever do any of the rides with the guys?
Do we ever do any what?
Of the rides.
Do you go on the rides with the guys?
Yeah, I ride all over. I do a lot of charity rides, and I've been riding my whole life.
What's the one thing, if no one's ever gone to see a Jackal show, and they hear our show today, and they hear some of the songs, and they say, oh, yeah, I remember that song. I never got to see the guys. What is the one thing you would tell them of why they need to come and see you guys in concert?
Well, it's not about coming to see the show. It's about coming to be part of it. And, we celebrate the fundamentals of rock and roll every night, two guitar, bass, and drums, chainsaw, if you will, whatever it takes to get the job done. And we're honest about it. And like I say, it's not about coming to see it. It's about coming to be part of it. Everybody comes out there and does what they're supposed to do. They go hot and bothered, worked up. They don't even make it home before they pull the car over on the side of the road and get up in the back seat and knock out the old dirty.
Well, let's fire up the chainsaw now, and we'll be back with Jesse on the other side of this. It's definitely a flagship song in your catalog. This is The Lumberjack. Gotta love a band with a lead chainsaw from 1992, the Jackal album, The Lumberjack, a song that definitely cut through the masses and cut through all the posers that were going on at the time and the grunge scene and put Jackal front and center. Jesse James Dupree, lead singer, chainsawist, founding member of Jackal with us on the phone, coming to town on April 23rd at the Hobart Art Theater in downtown Hobart. Jesse, where'd the idea come from to do the chainsaw?
What more depends a bit more rock and roll, right? Loud, aggressive, destructive, everything rock and roll should be. It just seemed to work. There was a bar that we were playing at in Atlanta, and I was threatening to the owner that I was going to bring a chainsaw in there sometime and set the place up. And the one night when I knew we were going to set a record for attendance, I went ahead and went and got a chainsaw and took it in there and ended up jamming on some blues, and next thing you know, the lumberjack was born.
It wouldn't be a Jackal show if you didn't cut up a bar stool or something every show. So obviously, Paul, you're going to be having a stool for the sacrifice.
Me and Walmart will be taking a little a stool over to the venue.
All right. Have you ever done a show where you haven't done the chainsaw since that song came out?
No. Not that I know of.
Okay, I was going to say the crowd would go wild if you didn't do that. One of the things I always liked about you, Jack, and admired about you is that you are an in-control guy. You take the bull by the horns. You have had your own management company. You've done your solo stuff. You've got your bourbon whiskey and your Jesse James Spirits. You've done reality television. You have been in charge, large and in charge of your career for so long. A lot of bands don't. They put their hands in, or their career in the hands of managers and things, but you seem to be the guy that realizes that there are two words in show business, show and business, and you handle both so well. Where did you learn to keep an eye on everything? Did you get burned in the early years that you decided this was something you needed to do, or did you always have your hand in the business side?
Again, that's all I've ever known. I didn't ever assume that anybody else would take care of us the way that I could take care of us. Wake up every day and try to do the right thing and the right thing by everybody else. And it's just not rocket science. It's just a relationship business.
Okay. Now, Mighty Loud Entertainment, is that still going strong?
Still going strong. We do all kind of stuff at Mighty Loud. Like I said, we've been consulting the Harley-Davidson Motor Company for about 5 years now. Worked with the VFW, the Veterans of Foreign Wars Organization. They help our veterans, get their benefits if they're having trouble with their benefits. And they have the Unmet Needs Program, which helps soldiers that find themselves in financial hardship from being deployed and such. And so it's a great honor to work with the VFW organization.
I'll say one.
And we have the band, and of course the Jesse James Bourbon, and the Full Throttle Swimming Up in Sturgis. So yeah, we stay busy.
I'll say one thing. One impressive thing about Jackal and Jesse is that every show I've ever done with them, the veterans are a big part of it.
Mm-hmm.
They come out. Jesse will meet them sometimes, and it's really an honor that he takes such care of them, because not many people do.
That's true. That's true.
Mama would look me otherwise, right?
I do want to ask you about one of the artists you're managing is your son, Nigel. Tell me about Nigel Dupree and then the Nigel Band.
Well, Nigel is he's out there, doing his thing. He's actually living up in Nashville now, but he's playing with Chuck Smith and the Restless Hearts. And they've been in the studio recording a new album, and he's just talented and good-looking. He looks like his mama, so he's doing good.
So is it hard managing and guiding a child? A lot of times, when you're young and you say, oh, Dad, Mom, they don't really get me, they don't know me, but he's counting on you to steer his career. There's got to be something special between you guys.
Well, I'm not, man. I don't steer his kid. He's on his own path. He does his own thing. I got good kids, and he grew up around it, so he did not have a typical childhood.
Okay. We were talking about new recordings and things, and I know it's been a crazy year, but you were talking about that you guys always write. I remember when you played at, what was that bar in South Haven that you booked at?
Oh, The Room.
No, that was in Highland, in South Haven.
Oh, McCool's.
McCool's. And you played McCool's. I remember I joined you on the bus, and you had your acoustic, and you were noodling through some different song ideas and saying, what do you think of this? What do you think of that? It seems like that was your decompression time. After a show, you would pick up your guitar, and you were just kind of working out some ideas. Is that typical Jesse action?
Yeah, I find that I ride the most when I'm on my Harley Davidson motorcycle riding around. That's where I seem to get in a zone where I come up with the best ideas.
How do you keep those from going out of your head? You got a little recorder with you, or how do you remember them? If you're on a bike, it's not like you could sit down and ride it.
Well, I've always had the opinion that if it's worth a damn, you won't forget it.
Okay, I agree with that. Four piece. You guys are still, like I said, with most of the original guys. And are they doing any kind of side projects? I mean, you did some solo things. What are the Whirlies doing?
Well, Roman's got a jewelry company called Moniker Jewelry. And he does really good with that. And Jeff and Chris, they stay busy up in South Carolina. They always got projects going on, real estate stuff and everything.
Okay. One of the things I remember about that show, we talked about at the beginning, the Rockfest 04 at the Star Plaza, was we were in the green room drinking PBR and watching NASCAR. And you guys were just over the moon with NASCAR. Are you still a big fan?
I mean, I watch it. My road manager is the main NASCAR guy. He's the one who always makes sure and finds the race. And so we end up watching it because he's got it on. But yes, my grandfather was the flagman at the Talladega 500, so I grew up around it.
Okay. What else do we need to let people know about Jackal now that the doors are opening of venues and the shows are starting? Are you doing a full tour? Are you doing weekend warrior stuff right now? Fly-out dates? What's on the summer schedule for Jackal?
Well, right now we're just taking it to offers as they come in, you know, the route, the dates that make sense, routing and such. It's still a little bit of a touch and go as to, you know, which states are opened up. It's hard to, you know, you hit some of these states and they got things closed down, and then you get over to Florida and Texas and they're wide open. So I don't know. It's so much of political BS that's going on, and hopefully it'll get behind us soon enough. I don't know if it's going to be a quick fix or not, but I'm hoping that it is.
Okay. All right, Jesse, thank you so much for joining us. I appreciate it. I know you got things to do today. I didn't want to tie you up too long, but I'm looking forward to trying some of that spiced bourbon. Do you sell any? Are you allowed to sell any at the shows?
You know, they won't let me go around selling it, but you know, you can get the Benny's liquor stores has it. Any store in Illinois that doesn't have it, just tell them to call Momentum. Momentum Distribution has all
Momentum.
The Jesse bourbon you can want. They'll bring it out to any bar or any liquor store that wants to carry it.
All right, terrific. Paul, you got any final thoughts with Jesse?
Nope, just make sure you come out. The show, hopefully I'm assuming we'll be selling out, so make sure you get out early and get your tickets because... Tickets are on sale right now. Go to the Hobart Art Theater website or their Facebook or even ticketweb.com to buy the tickets.
All right. JesseJamesSpirits.com is where you'll find information on the bourbon and Jackal, J-A-C-K-Y-L, Jackal.com is where you'll find everything else you need to know about Jesse and the boys and the tour and the music. And I look forward to seeing you again, Jesse. It's been a number of years.
Tom, it's good to hear your voice, man. People, y'all get ready. Kick it out there. Jackal, tell me the town and... I'll turn that place into Jackal's Bar and Grill.
All right, sounds good. Let's rock a hoe for a while. Going back to the Push Comes a Shove album. Jesse James Dupree coming with Jackal Friday, April 23rd. Paul's going to stay with us for a few more minutes. We'll play another couple of Jackal songs as well. So don't go anywhere. This is Midwest Beat on Lakeshore Public Radio.
See for rock a hole, 'cause I'm always.
Hey, Rock-a-ho. That is off the Push Comes to Shove album, which I believe is their second album.
I think so.
Good album. I actually like that album better than I like the first, and I love the first. As I was saying, Paul, these guys survived at a time when most rock bands weren't. There was a handful of them. Guns N' Roses, Black Crowes, Jackal, not too many more come to mind that actually were thriving during the grunge era.
Yeah, but if you have to remember that these were unique bands.
Yeah, they all had a different unique sound, that's right.
That hair metal stuff was on its way out, and this southern rock kind of thing that Jackal does, I don't even know if you want to call it southern rock, but it's rock and roll in your face.
Mm-hmm.
And they were the only ones at the time really doing it.
And the only ones definitely playing a chainsaw.
Correct. You know, call it a stick, call it a gimmick, but it was definitely an amazing part of their career.
Right. Are you, you've worked with them how many times now?
Probably about a dozen or so.
And they've always done well ticket-wise.
Yeah.
Because they, like I said, they always did well at the Star, and they did well at McCool's.
Mm-hmm.
I remember that night, because I don't think Jesse was feeling that great that night, and he still put on one heck of a show. And I went back to do the interview in the tour bus, and he picked up the guitar. And he goes, yeah, we can talk, no problem. He goes, I just need to chill a little bit. And he's doing some noodling on the guitar. And he goes, let me run this past you. And he'd play part of a song. And he said, what do you think? And I thought, how cool is this? I'm literally watching him create a song on the tour bus.
You know, what a good guy. What was one of my real cool moments in life? I don't know if you remember John Corabi. He played
with Motley.
The crew. I was at the backstage of the House of Blues once, and he's starting to tell me all these stories. And I'm like, okay, that's weird. Okay, that's weird. Okay, that's weird. And then, like, a year later, The Dirt came out. And all of those stories were there.
Wow.
And I didn't know whether to – you know, when you're backstage and you hear some of these – you have these conversations and you ask questions and you just talk.
Right.
You know, they're normal people. There's not much difference between, you know, you, me, and, you know, well, Michael Jackson might be a little different.
Or Prince.
But yeah. Most people in the rock and roll world, they're just normal people that just like to have fun. And they like to have great conversation. And some of the things you pick up from them and you learn from them is You can't pay for that stuff.
Right. Well, like I said, I was hanging out. I was never a big NASCAR fan. I certainly am not a fan of PBR. But that's all we had. And we enjoyed it. We got together. We're cheering on as the cars are hitting the curves. And we're popping the top off of PBR. And we're in the green room. And docking. Skid Row was on stage. And we're a room away listening to them. We're watching the races. We're laughing. Those guys laugh and talk and tell dirty jokes. They're great. They're just blue-collar guys. I love them.
What more can you ask for? PBR, NASCAR, and Jackal.
Yeah. I mean, it's marriage made in heaven. So I'm glad that I was able to bring that up, because that to me is one of those highlights. You know, you work with all these different bands. My career spans about 45 years now. And, there's great stories and memories that you have, and some you forget that aren't so memorable. But that was one of them, hanging out with Jackal on a show that I'm co-producing. And they were still at their peak at that point in 2004. And they were still red hot and creating new fan bases and new albums. And we're hanging out back there, and they're just cheering on racers, and we're popping the tops. And it's like, here, pop a top and hand me a beer. And I'm like, this guy just handed me a beer. You know, it's like, this is fun. It's like being with Wendy L. Williams of the Plasmatics backstage the day the cops came and arrested her. You know, and they literally took her out while I'm asking my final interview questions in handcuffs.
Oh, my gosh.
So, you know, we've had some fun stuff. I've had a couple of bands that actually wrote songs at my house, and, you know, one that played at my wedding, and just all these weird things that you think, you're right, they're normal people. They're normal people, and if you become friends with them, like you said, you get to know them and you become friends. It's very cool feeling. You feel like one of the cool kids in school.
Yeah, you do. You do. And even like when you text them sometimes,
mm-hmm.
just like a Merry Christmas sometimes, or they'll text you Merry Christmas, because, you know, it's almost like sending cards nowadays, a quick little text.
I get a Merry Christmas almost all the time from Gunnar Nelson, from the Nelson Brothers. He's on the show all the time. Of course, they got Rensselaer roots with, the Harmon family. But same thing with Debbie Harry and Blondie. I had cards every birthday and every Christmas from them. And sadly, most of them got destroyed in the flood. But I have one proudly framed in my record store. It's got a little water damage on it from the flood. But to me, that brings back the memories of every Christmas for like 10 years getting a card from them. Hand-signed. It wasn't one of those stamped ones that the publicist sends out. You know, it was very cool. Send to your home address.
Carl from the Buckinghams. He calls people on his on holidays just to thank them for being part of the Buckinghams family.
Right.
So after shows, he'll call you up and be like, thank you for the show. It was a great time. Some of that has been lost over the years.
Right.
The thank yous, the pleases, all that. And some, they're on it.
Right.
And they're good. They're really good people.
Peter's like that too, mm-hmm. from the Ides. I always get something from Jim or Karen, his wife. They'll send out a card, or if they don't send the cards anymore, sometimes I'll get a physical card and sometimes I'll just get a text. But just the thought, the matter that you're on their mind, that they think of you, is something important to me.
And it means a lot.
It does.
Not only are you part of the family, but it's the music community. And once you're part of the music community, you're like in forever.
Right. Let's play another Jackal song since we're talking about music. How about I Stand Alone? Let's go back to that debut album.
Oh, great album.
All right. This is the first one on the Greatest Hits album. They got so many albums out here. And it's also the first one on the actual album Jackal Jackal, which goes back to 1991. So let's play that one. We'll talk some more after this.
Still my mic. No, I just can't seem to take the rock to
Say yeah. Say yeah to getting tickets to Jackal. They're going to be in town on 2 weeks from now, Friday, April 23rd, Hobart Art Theater, 230 Main Street, downtown Hobart.
Wow, that's coming up quick.
That's going to be here soon. And Jackal, I know I'm going to get Jesse to come by the store. He's got to.
I'm going to tell him to go over to your place.
Tell him to leave his chainsaw at home, but come on over.
No, you need some remodeling over there.
That I do, actually. So Jackal is going to be, they are, if you've never seen them, they truly are an excitable rock and roll show. There's, you know, there's a lot of bands, and as good as they may be, as energetic as they may be, they sometimes, you know, it's kind of same old, same old. Everybody jumps around, and they wear their fancy clothes, and they do their things. Jesse is, in a lot of ways, and not politically, of course, but in a lot of ways reminds me of Ted Nugent, where Ted, you never know what's going to happen or what he's going to say or how he's going to enter the stage. I've seen him swing in on a vine. I've seen him ride in on a buffalo. I mean, he's one of those guys. Jesse's the same way. You never know what to expect exactly, except that it's going to be awesome.
It's in-your-face rock and roll.
Mm-hmm. Very much.
It's the only way to really say it. It's here, right now. You live in the moment, and you forget about everything.
And if you get seats near the front, I'm just giving you a little inside hint, when he saws up the bar stool, he usually hands out pieces of it for souvenirs.
Mm-hmm. And, I don't know if they're going to do it because of COVID, but sometimes they come out to the merch booth and sign too, which is rather nice. COVID might change things around.
I hope not. You know, I hope not. I think meet and greets can be done if they're done correctly.
Mm-hmm.
And just saying, one way to do it correctly might be, I don't know if the venue has the setup for it, but I know we do next door. We've done stuff where we have a front door and a back door, and the line comes in the front, and then you take so many at a time, they sign at the back table, and then they go up the back door, and then they go back into the venue to watch the show.
Yeah, they've got two exits, so I'm sure we could figure something like that. Not a dumb idea. I didn't even...
But we've done that at the store. We take them in the back room where you've been... And that's cleared out, and then they come through the store, and you pause them in the main room, and then you take two or three guests at a time. They get to say hello, get their stuff autographed. It's one-on-one. Everyone's masked up, and then you take them out the back door, and then they're in the parking lot, and they go back to the venue for the show. If it's a pre-show or if it's an after-show, we've done that a few times. So it's there if you want to do it. It's being offered if you want it.
I'll toss it out to them. I know they've got their big merch set up at the in the actual venue, so
okay,
we'll talk to them.
Trying to think how they could set that up. Where they is it right by the front?
No, it's
right, a small ticket area there.
You know where the tables are in the back of the venue.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah, right back.
What am
there.
I thinking?
Yep.
You're right.
There's
they could big, do that. And they do have the gate on both sides. Mm-hmm. They can walk them through. There
exactly.
You go. Didn't even think of that. Most of my bands don't have merch. That's why.
Well,
so
maybe we should get some Tom Lounge's merch.
I think we should. So Jackal will be there. Thanks to Jesse James Dupree. Always a pleasure to talk to him, whether it's on phone or in person, especially in person. He's such a character. I know that we're going to have a lot of fun at that show. So Jackal on April 23rd, Buck Cherry August 17th, Faster Pussycat on July 1st. All of these are at the Hobart Art Theater. L.A. Guns is coming when again?
L.A. Guns is coming on July 10th. We've got Riff Raff in June and Head P.E. in August.
And Buckingham's in September.
And, of course, tonight
we've got American English that you cannot get tickets for because you were delayed.
So don't forget to get your tickets early.
That's right, for all of these shows. And speaking of, what have we not played? We haven't played any Head P.E. And P.E., of course, stands for Planet Earth. A lot of people say, what does that mean, man? Never quite got that name myself, but maybe we can ask them that night. Who knows?
Absolutely.
Let's serve one up with the bartender. This is Head P.E. on Midwest Beat. We got just a few minutes left.
Hey, bartender, hit me with
Hey, bartender. Early stuff there. Good stuff. That takes you back. Head PE. That had to be, what year was Head PE? Early 2000s?
Yes. I don't know exactly what year, but yeah, they had a couple big songs, that and Renegade.
Yeah.
Definitely.
That was, of course, the radio edit that we played.
There were some staples during that area for that hard rock. I think you would call it hard rock, punk rock, somewhere in the middle of all that stuff. And they were definitely a mover during that era.
Mm-hmm.
And they've been touring for years, and they have their cult following.
Right, right.
But it's a fun rock show. It's another one of those in-your-face fun rock shows. It's a little hip-hop-ish, but not really. It's like hip-hop, Blink Biscuit almost kind of vibe-ish, but just more in-your-face and fun.
A lot of the bands that we've been talking about, other than like the hair bands like LA Guns or Faster Pussycat, but the Buck Cherrys, the Head PE, Filter, things like that, those were the bands that were breaking the molds back in the day.
Mm-hmm.
They've almost become the new classic rock.
It's kind of scary.
Isn't that weird? Does it make you feel old?
I felt old when Motley Crue was on the classic rock station. That's what got me.
Wow. So who's a band you haven't worked with yet that you is on your wish list, your bucket list?
Oh my gosh, there's quite a few of them, but probably the one that stands out the most. I've always, you know, and they probably broke up now because someone died. But the Prodigy was always my band that I always wanted. Them and Ministry were the two that I always wanted on my bucket list.
Okay,
you know, both industrial bands.
Well, we want to say goodbye to everyone. Paul Panicelli. I said Panicelli. I don't know why. Paul Panicelli, Mush Music. Mush?
Mush.
Mush.
Mush it all music. Together.
It, mush I, it all together.
I just take care of all.
And get online and find out all these great shows at the Hobart Art Theater. Stay in touch with Jesse and Jackal at jackal.com. And get spirited with Jesse James, jessejamesspirits.com. We're going to have to talk to Shane, over at the art theater, see if we can get a couple bottles for us.
Especially the spice stuff.
The spice stuff. I want to try
just
that.
Just for you and me.
Yeah. We'll toast it. All right. Leaving you with Jackal as we say goodbye. Thanks, everybody. Chef Nick's show coming up. And thanks for listening to Lakeshore Public Radio.